Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. And now Rick shares with us part one of a message called Employing Your Experience.
We've looked at five different ways that God wired you uniquely to fulfill your purpose in life. We use the acrostic S-H-A-P-E. He has gifted you with spiritual gifts, S. What are you gifted to do? He has given you a heart, things you love to do, passions, interests. He's given you natural abilities that you have been good at since the moment you were born. He's given you a personality that's different than all the others, and you are unique. And there's nobody like you. And today we conclude with the experiences of life and how God wants you to use the experiences of your life, good, bad, and ugly, for His glory and for your own good. Now, the most famous verse in the Bible about the experiences of life is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's there at the top of your outline. Let me read it to you. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, this is one of the most famous verses of the Bible. It's also one of the misused, misabused, and misunderstood verses in the Bible. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that all things work out the way I want them to. We know that's not true. It doesn't say that everything has a happy ending on earth. It doesn't. We live in a broken planet. So what does it say? Well, let me take it apart phrase by phrase. First, we know. Not we guess, we hope, we wish, we pray for, we want, we desire. No, we know. We know this for a fact of life as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. We know this for certain. What do we know? We know that in all things. Now, what's included in the word all? Huh? Yeah. The original meaning of the Greek word all is all. Does that include your stupid mistakes? Yes. Does that include your dumb decisions? Yes. Does that include your failures? Yes. Does that include your sins? Yes. Does that include divorce and miscarriage and unemployment and everything else that happens in life? Yes. Bankruptcy? Yes. Cancer? Yes. Everything is included in all. We know that in all things, God fits it all in His plan. It's certainly not all good. There's a lot of bad in the world. There is evil in this world, and God is not the author of evil. And God grieves when He sees evil happening. But He's given us a free choice. And He will not force you or anybody else to do right without taking away your free will. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. He works for the good. There is a grand design behind everything in your life. There is a designer. Your life is not an accident. It is not fate. There is no luck in your life. There is no karma. There is no random chance. There is no happenstance. There is a design behind your life. We know that in all things, God is working. For what? For the good. Even in the bad? Yes, for the good. He loves to bring good out of bad. He loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. He loves to take the stupid mistakes of others and the ones we make ourselves and somehow put them all together and bring good. We make mistakes, but God never makes a mistake. God works for the good of those who love Him. Now, this is not a promise for everybody in the world. God is not working everything for the good for those who don't love Him. If I'm thumbing my nose to God, I'm turning my back on God, I'm pretending I'm my own God, I don't need God, everything's working for bad in my life. It's not working for good. God owes me nothing. When I deny my Creator His right to lead and direct my life since He made me, and I ignore His purpose and do my own thing, everything is not working for good. In fact, it's working for bad. This is a promise for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And one of the reasons I worship God is because He is a God who can take the mess of my life and bring a message out of it. He can take the test in my life and create a testimony out of it. And He can take the crisis and He can show Christ through it. And He can take the bad things in my life and He can bring even good out of that. It is a mystery and a miracle to me. But in another sense, it's not. You know, I like chocolate chip cookies. In fact, I like them a lot. I like them so much, I know how to make them. In fact, I don't even need a recipe. I've made them. I know how to make chocolate chips. And the amazing thing is I get in a little hurry sometime, and I want to eat the individual ingredients, and they taste like turtle spit. You ever eat a little, shortening? Don't try. Raw eggs? Bad. Salt and sugar by itself? Bad. Baking soda? Bad. Chocolate chips? Good. 1 out of 6? Not bad. Okay. Somehow, though, when you mix 5 bad things with 1 good thing and you stir them up together, it is so good you eat half the dough before you make the cookie. How is that? 5 bad things and 1 good equal a really good mixture. And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take bad, 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 good and turn you into Mrs. Fields. And He's a pro at it. And today we're going to look at how He does it. God does not want you to waste your experiences. So how do I keep from wasting the experiences that I've had in my life up to this point? 3 things. Number 1, first, you must embrace your experiences. You must embrace them. You must embrace the experiences of your life. The good ones, the bad ones, the shameful ones, the right ones, the wrong ones, the happy and the sad ones, all of them. You've got to stop running from your past if God's going to use it for good in your life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4 says this, "You have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not." And as your pastor, I say to you, I hope not too. Don't run away from your past. The problem is, because of pain, many people deny their past, ignore their past, discount their past, regret their past, resent the past, shoot, they revise their past and rewrite their past. And they make up little stories that aren't really the way it was because they're happier with their story than the pain of the past. God says, if you're in denial, you can't use it for good, and I can't use it for good in your life. Would you write this on your outline? God can use every experience in my life for good. Every experience. The relational, the educational, the spiritual, the vocational, the painful, all of them. The ones you like and the ones you didn't like, He can use them all, but you got to stop running from Him. You have to embrace your experiences. And maybe your parents weren't that great, or maybe you weren't that hot in school, or maybe you weren't the football captain or the prom queen. Well, so what? They're your experiences. Own them, and God will use them for good in your life. Now, in order to use them, you got to remember them. Stop pushing them out of your mind. You got to remember them. And Jesus tells us this, and in fact, in the Old Testament tells it too, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 2, it says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. Now it says, remember what you have learned. It's saying the important thing is to remember the lessons. Remember the lessons. Now, how do you do that? Well, the best way to remember the lessons of your life, the experiences, is to keep a journal. Now, I'm not talking about a diary. A diary is a list of what you did. Today, I went to the store and bought milk. Whoop-de-doo. A journal, which you don't necessarily write in every day, it's just every time you have an important lesson, you write that one down because you don't want to forget it. And you go, oh boy, that was painful. I had to learn that one the hard way. I don't want to forget that. And you write down the lesson. He says, remember what you've learned about me. And you want to keep a journal. This is one of my journals. I've been keeping a journal off and on now for, well, since I was in college. And I don't write in it every day or even every week. It's just when I get a lesson, I go, ooh, I don't want to forget that one. And I hear something or I learn something, I write it down. And then I go back and reread it. Now, why do you want to keep a journal on your experiences and the lessons you learn from them in life? Because hindsight is always 20/20. You understand your life looking back, not looking forward. Isn't that true? It makes a whole lot more sense looking backwards. In fact, Jesus said it. Notice this next verse. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." You almost never understand what God is doing in your life in the present. It is only looking back, you go, "Oh, now I see it. Now I see what God was doing. He was doing this. I didn't see it at the time, but I see it now." Joseph was a man who in the Bible, everything in his life went wrong for 40 years. It was downhill. Nothing went right, including being thrown in jail for a rape that he did not even do. He had run from the woman and she falsely accused him. Everything went wrong in this poor guy's life for the first 40 years. And yet later looking back, when God had done a series of amazing things and raised him to second in command in Egypt, and during a famine he saved Israel and Egypt from starving to death. And when he was confronted with the brothers who had traded him into slavery years earlier and told their dad, he just died, sorry. He said this, next verse, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Now, there are things in your life where people intended to hurt you, and they meant it. They meant to hurt you, and I'm sorry. And they intended it for bad, but God is greater than your problem and your pain, and his purpose is far bigger than either of those. And he means it for good. So first you have to embrace your experiences and stop running from them. Okay? Number two, you embrace the experiences. Second, you extract the lessons. You pull the lessons out of the experience you've had. An unexamined experience is worthless. There are people who are 50 years old. They haven't lived 50 years. They've lived 1 year 50 times. And they're still making the same mistakes because they never stop and extract the lessons from what happened in this last year and how can I do it differently based on what I did this last year. And they never pull it out. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says this. I love this in the Amplified. "Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you're holding to your faith." In other words, you got to extract the lessons. Do you not realize by an ever increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? He says, haven't you figured out by now that you're never alone? That God is with you all the time? That no matter when you thought you were your most lonely, he was right there with you. Have you not figured out from your experiences yet that Jesus is with you and in you if you've invited him into your life? If you haven't, you're not keeping a record of where your life's headed. And you need to go back and examine and test and evaluate. What does that mean? You take some time to review the experiences of your life. And what do you look for? You look for benefits, patterns, and lessons. You look for benefits. What did I really enjoy in my life? And you go back and you don't just say, well, I really enjoyed that job. You go, what was it about that job that I really loved? That'll help you understand your shape. And you don't say, I really liked that class. You go, what exactly about that class did I like that was so fulfilling to me? And you'll get little clues about where you should be headed with your life and the shape of where you should be. If you don't examine your experiences, they have no value to you. You look for patterns, and particularly you want to look for patterns in your failure, because when you fail, you do it the same way every time. And so you look at things, well, now where have I failed in the past? And you don't look at it to beat yourself up, oh, poor me. You do it so you can go, I want to be different. What are the patterns that I keep doing over and over and over? And as the old cliche goes, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. This is the problem with the Israelites. They were freed from 400 years of slavery. They're coming to the promised land. They're crossing the Sinai Peninsula, and it takes them 40 years. Why? This trip should only take 4 weeks. It took them 40 years. Why? Because they've refused to learn the experiences, the lessons that they needed to learn. And so God would give them a test, and they'd blow it, and they'd forget. So he'd go, okay, one more lap around the desert. And then they'd have another test. Okay, one more lap around the desert. And they did it 7 times, and it took them 40 years to take something that should have never taken that long. You want to look for the lessons. Notice this next verse. The Bible says in Job 32:7, the longer you live, read it with me, the wiser you become. Now, friends, that verse is a possibility, not a promise. I know a lot of people who are old who are dumb. So wisdom does not automatically come with age. That's a possibility, not a promise. You see, maturity is when you extract meaning from the everyday experiences of life. That's what it means to be mature. You're able to look at the things in your life, the normal everyday things, and go, ah, I got that. Other people just go through life never ever examining. As Socrates says, the unexamined life isn't worth living. So treat every experience as an education. You go, what can I learn from this? And the amazing thing about the school of experience is two things. One, if you fail the test, it's okay. You get to take it over and over and over and over until you pass it. And the second thing about the school of experience is just about the time you think you've graduated, they add another course. And you will be in that school the rest of your life. You embrace your experiences, you extract the lessons, and then number three, you employ them to help others. You employ them to help others. Now, when you finally realize that the purpose of your life is far greater than your own happiness, problems become a whole lot easier to handle. You just look at everything from a different perspective, and you're able to use the experiences of your life, good and bad, to help other people. Paul says, St. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he's writing to the people in the Greek city of Philippi. And he says this, I want you to know, my friends, that the things that have happened to me have actually really helped the progress of the gospel. He says, I want you guys to know that the things that have happened to me are actually, they're beneficial for the ultimate goal, sharing the good news. Now, where is he when he's writing this, and what are the things that have happened to him? He has been captured, taken on ship to Rome, been in a shipwreck, been bitten by a snake, now thrown in prison in a dungeon, cuffed to a 24-hour Roman guard. And he's gone, oh, the things that have happened to me have actually caused the good news to be spread further. It's spreading now all over Rome. That's a different perspective. He's not whining and crying and complaining that people won't make him happy. Oh, if it weren't for this poor centurion, I'd be happy. If I weren't in this prison, I'd be happy. No, he's saying, you know, I've got a bigger perspective. Now, the Bible teaches that God wants you to use your experiences in 4 ways. Number one, use them to minister to others. God says, I want you to use your experiences to minister to others. Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time on this point because we've talked about it so often here. And the key verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that says this. In our trouble, God has comforted us. And this too is to help you, to show you from our personal experience how God will tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same sufferings. He will give you the strength to endure. The point here is that God takes us through problems, comforts us, helps us, strengthens us in our problems, so then we can comfort, help, and strengthen others when they go through the same thing. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. God helps us so we can help others. And every experience that you've gone through, He wants to use in your life to help somebody else. He says, use your experiences. Don't waste them. Use them. How? By helping somebody else who's about to go through or is going through what you've already been through. Who can better help someone going through cancer than somebody who's been through cancer? Who can help somebody dealing with an addiction to pornography or medicines or drugs or a million other things than somebody who's been addicted to pornography or drugs or a million other things? Who can better help someone deal with the pain of a divorce than someone who's been there, know what it's like? Who can help someone deal with the problem of rejection and adultery than somebody who experienced the problem of rejection and adultery? Who can better help the parents of a special need child than parents who had a special need child? And who could better help parents who had a kid who went off the deep end than somebody whose son or daughter went off the deep end? Who can better help someone in the loss of a loved one than someone who says, I just lost my loved one last year? And who could better help somebody with AIDS than someone who's got AIDS? God never wastes the hurt. I've said that 1,000 times in this church. He never wastes the hurt, and He doesn't want you to waste your hurts. He wants to use them to benefit and bless other people. And the thing that you're most embarrassed about, that you most regret, that injustice, that prejudice, that hurt, that wound, that sin, that mistake, the thing you'd like to keep in the closet and would say, you know, that's over, I'm not going to think about it, that's not my life anymore, that very thing can become your greatest ministry. You always help people more through your weaknesses than your strengths. When you come and you try to help somebody with your strengths, they're going, well, whoop-de-doo, you're just good at it, big deal. You're talented there, so what? I'll never be like you. But when you come and you say, you know what? Been there, done that. I remember how embarrassed, how shocked, how afraid I felt with that bankruptcy or that situation. And then you begin to help other people with it. Who could better help someone who's been raped than somebody who went through a rape? Nobody else could even understand what that's like. An abuse, a rape, an incest, or anything else. You know what? If you don't use your experience, it's wasted. All you get out of it is pain. That's not what God wants you to get out of it. Where was God when that happened? He was grieving too. And He could have taken away the free will of every one of us, but that would have made us not human. We would have been puppets. And there's a lot of things that happen on this planet that God hates. He hates it. He hates evil. And He weeps. But if you just refuse to deal with it and let God use it and bring good out of it, all you get out of it is pain. And God says, oh no, don't waste your hurt. Don't waste your hurt. Embrace your experiences, extract the lessons, and use them to help others. Employ them to help others by ministering, first of all, out of the very things that you think you'd like to forget. Now, the second way God wants you to use your experiences is use them to motivate others. You minister to people in their pain. You motivate others when they're discouraged, when they're down. And your experiences can be inspirational to many people because you have been through things and been through places that they have not yet gone through, and you can motivate them.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope today. Hey, I'm wondering, have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? If you're like me, of course you have. And you're not alone. God intentionally created you to fulfill a unique purpose. It's so important that you discover how you can live the full and abundant life that God designed just for you in the Shape to Make a Difference Bible study. It was created by Pastor Rick and taught by Pastor Eric Reese. Now, in this study, you're going to see how the acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, and it will reveal how God wired you and how you can use your shape to do the things that God made you to do. This is a 6-session video and workbook study, and it's going to help clarify to you your future goals, and it shows you how you can have the most fulfilling life possible. A life lived for God's purposes by God's design. Now, no matter what your age is, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. And this life-changing study kit is perfect for personal or small group study. We so appreciate all your prayers and support. And today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people all over the world, we're going to send you your very own copy of the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session video and workbook Bible study. It can really make a difference in your life. Just go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.